Now, Father, me as I teach upon those as we listen, help us all to learn, to grow. Help us, Father, not only to learn, but to have revelation and to walk in a whole different realm. I pray right now, Father, we'd mix faith with what we hear, which means we'll practice it this week in your name. Amen. We have been on an exciting topic of prayer. Now, we have really tried to take a look at this and say, prayer has been taught so many times, so boring and so mystic, as though you never know if God's going to answer your prayer or not. So you just shotgun all these prayers at the ceiling, hoping that in all these 50 random prayers you shot up to God this week, when one gets answered, it's, oh, yes, oh, I got an answer to prayer. Well, that's not what God intends. God intends that every prayer you pray get answered, everyone. And so we've been on a series of showing you the 9 different kinds of prayer in the Word. We've been talking about how to use them, when to use them, how that certain kinds of prayer don't work in certain situations. Okay? For example, you can't use the prayer of faith on somebody else's car. How many know that's true? And that's a really broad example. I just can't go and claim somebody's truck and say, I claim that truck in Jesus' name. It's mine. Thank you, Father. Consider it done. You can't find a promise in God's word that has me give you my truck. Right? So we talked about all the different ways prayer can work, and we kind of skimmed them, but we've been focusing lately on the prayer of intercession. And last week, I talked about what the prayer of intercession is. And we talked about there is something really unique on this planet. And I showed you how that God, we talked about the saying that it seems as though God is limited to what he can do on this planet by our prayer. See, some people think God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. If that's the truth, then God is a bit of a yucky guy, because he's allowing millions of babies to be killed. He's allowing millions of abortions. He's allowing rapes. He's allowing the sickest mass murderers. He's allowing awful things around the planet. If God can just step in and do anytime he wants, anything he wants, then that is why most of the people in the world don't want to serve God. Because they go, if he's a God of love, and if he's got the whole world in his hands like all you Christians keep singing about, then what in the world is he doing on the planet? The truth of the matter is, when you study spiritual laws, you find out God can't do whatever he wants. You say, oh, just a minute, you're taking away from the sovereignty of God. No, I'm not. Because it's not that God isn't able to do it, it's that God is limited by his own word. When God says, I will never do this, can God do that? No. When God says, I will never again do that, can God do that? No. And so God has spoken some things through the word of God, one of them being he gave the planet to man and made man the authority. Made man the ruler of this planet. Man gave it away to Satan. Satan's been ruling. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the god of this world. And so, but Jesus came to make a way for you and I to get that authority back. And on this planet, when your body stops working, you exit. Don't be sucked in by the mediums and the witches who try to tell you that somebody's spirit is still hovering around this planet. The second someone's body stops to live, the spirit that it houses immediately goes to an eternal place, eternal heaven or eternal hell. There is no hovering around, no waiting. The Bible's very clear on that. So your body, we talked about, and I'd encourage you if you were to get the tape from last time, we talked about how that there is your body gives you authority on this planet. That's why Satan wants to possess people's bodies. He has no expression of who he is and what he does without a human body. And God is the same way. And I showed you in John chapter 10 how that there is a doorway to authority on this planet, and it means being born of a woman and having a body. And I didn't go through a whole bunch of verses, but the word is very clear. And so Jesus came the right way. He was born of a woman and he had a body. Satan came into the planet a different way. He lied his way in here. He cheated his way in. He's a thief and a robber. But the shepherd of the sheep is the one that came in by the door, and he's the one the sheep follow. And so as you begin to realize that it takes a human on this planet to have authority, because God gave the authority on this planet to humans, God needs humans, which is why his son gave up everything that he was, all its power anyway, and became the son of man. Now I want to talk to you today. And so that's why it's that God is limited by our prayer. He needs permission. He needs somebody praying on this planet to be allowed to go and get involved. And I showed you last week how that many tragedies and many things could be averted if the Church of Jesus Christ would become sensitive to prayer when the Holy Spirit moves on them. We would see many deaths and many tragedies and a lot of things going on. Many of them could be averted if we would pray. And intercessory prayer is specifically for the lost and for Christians who are locked away in unrepentance. They won't repent. Christians who are in sin but choose not to turn from their ways. That's what intercessory prayer is for. Because in this case, we have to stand in the gap for them. Now, how many know we said last week that Jesus is our link? He is our link between God and fallen man. The Bible says there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. So a Christian who loves the Lord and is pushing in for God, he's got access to the Father, and that's through Jesus. He's got an intercessor. But people who don't know Jesus or won't accept him, or Christians who have been tricked and lied to and are pursuing some kind of sin, and Satan's got their eyes blinded and they're going to be killed, and they're pursuing sin instead of God, they need someone to stand in the gap for them. And so that's where we talked, and we went a lot more on intercessory prayer. And so I encourage you to get that so you don't get confused or you don't get out of sorts. But today I want to talk and move on. And I want to talk about, Old Testament intercession. How that in the Old Testament, 3 million people would have been killed if one man wouldn't have interceded. If God's going to allow one man, and we talked about how that God's word is so powerful that when he said, the wages of sin is death, those words have been spoken thousands of years ago, and they are still in effect. And so when fallen man in the Old Testament committed sin and did horrible things, the voice of sin would cry out for justice, and because of God's words, sin had to be judged. But God would always look for a man, trying to find somebody. If somebody would stand in the gap and give him permission, he would choose mercy. God prefers mercy. And we looked at the verse, how about God does not like judgment. God hates judgment, but it has to be done. But God prefers mercy. And if someone, often in the scriptures, we'd find God says, Sodom and Gomorrah has got to be destroyed. It's disgusting. That sin's going to creep over the whole world and take everyone out. It's got to be taken out like a cancerous tumor on a body. It's got to be removed. And unless someone stands in the gap, and he went to Abraham, we used Abraham and Moses twice, how that in the Old Testament, they could talk to God and stop death. In the New Testament, we have a greater ability than in the Old. So today I want to talk about New Covenant intercession. New Covenant, because there are some people who intercede almost like the Old Testament, and they go to the Old Testament for all the things that they do, and it's fine as long as you take it through the cross. Today I want to show you if Abraham can save Lot and his wife from a city that's being destroyed. If Moses can pray a very simple prayer, just a very simple prayer, and God spares 3 million people for 4 sentences of his prayer. Did you notice Moses didn't pray for 4 days? He said 4 sentences in prayer, and God spared 3 million people. And today we've got a better covenant based on better promises, which if we'll learn to pray, we can impact our nation, our world, and this city in a far greater way, because we have a better system in place than the old covenant intercession. Let's get right into it. All right, I'm going to just give you some points and we're going to talk about them. So a lot of times I'm going to just chat about some things and help you out with them. Number one, people of the old covenant suffered many things that we shouldn't have to suffer today. That's the statement I want to make, and then I want to go into the Word. Listen. People in the Old Covenant suffered many things that we shouldn't, didn't say wouldn't, I said shouldn't suffer today. Let's look at Solomon's view on it in Ecclesiastes, verse 4. I'm going to read you a few scriptures. Ecclesiastes, verse 4, Solomon makes a statement that shows us the affairs in the Old Testament and how awful it could be. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 1 to 3. I'm in the Song of Solomon. I'm reading, Behold You, My Love, Dove's Eyes, and I'm wondering what is wrong with this verse. Ecclesiastes 4, 1 to 3. And I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun, Solomon says. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praised the dead who were already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Isn't that a depressing portion of scripture? Better to be dead than ever exist on this planet with all the... It seems like the good people are getting nailed, the bad people got all the power. You know why? Because there's no comforter. Notice that, no comforter. Now what's the Holy Spirit? Our comforter, our intercessor, that's Jesus. He's saying there's no man that's here that can stop this. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, another man of God, says something that goes down into the Word of God. Let's start reading in Isaiah 59 and verse 14. Justice is turned back. Well, isn't that a great opening? Justice is turned back, and righteousness, it stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. Whoa. And he who departs from evil, he makes himself a prey. You start departing from evil, you're going to become a victim. It's saying here, you're better off to be the murderer than to get murdered, because as soon as you try to clean your way up, you're just taken out. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. Ooh, ever seen God displeased? And he saw there was no judgment, the King James says. The New King James says there's no justice. And look what verse 16 says. God saw that there was no man. Why did God need a man? Because for God to stop the mess that was going on, some human needed to give him permission through prayer. Some human needed to stand in the gap and say, God, would you forgive them? And God could say, oh, thank you. I want to give mercy. I just needed someone on the earth with some permission to give me the right. And God wondered, verse 16, why there was no intercessor. What's an intercessor? It's a man standing in the gap saying, okay, God, I stand for these people. So it says here, now it goes on, and I'm going to deal with that a little later. It says his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. Now, here it's talking about Jesus. You know what was going on here? Listen to me close. Don't lose me, because this is so important in your Christian walk. In the Old Testament, things went on that were disgustingly horrible. People died. Whole races were wiped out. Families were destroyed. Baby sacrifices, the sickest sexual things you can imagine. It was horrible. Isaiah looked. Ezekiel looked. Solomon looked. And all through their when they wrote, they said, it's awful. You want to be good, you become a victim. It's awful. You want to be a good person and you lose all your power. It's better to be dead and never have lived than to be on this planet. Look how the oppressors, the bad people got it made, and the good people are going down the tubes. I would rather have never have lived. What's going on? The old covenant didn't have a man that could stand in the gap. Somebody that was pure and clean, that had the right to approach God. Say, God. Now, sometimes you'd see it happen. And you'd see an intercessor. Now, intercessor doesn't mean intercessory prayer. Intercessor means somebody who does something for another. All right? If for example, as simple as this, if someone has a hard time getting up these steps, and I come and help them up these steps, I've interceded in this. I've helped them up the steps. So when we talk about leaders in the Old Testament, many men came along and helped God's people get into the promised land. Gideon, Joshua, Caleb, all these men, they did something. But in the Old Testament, over and over, this good man would die and nobody would be left that would lead God's people. And God would look for a man as his whole nation went into sin. And he realized, listen, the wages of sin is death. Death's about to come on these people. Help! God's looking, his eyes are roaming to and fro, looking for somebody to stand in the gap, looking for somebody to pray so that judgment would be turned off. But he couldn't find anybody. Judgment would come again and again. Justice would have to be done. So finally, God looked and it displeased him that this was always going on. He sent his own son, but his own son had no authority to come. Jesus couldn't just appear on the planet and go, Shazam, I'm here. Trumpets blow. 10,000 angels sing the hallelujah chorus. Jesus, Jesus, he's here. That's the way I'd do it. That's just what I'd do. But he couldn't do it that way, because Satan would have cried, foul! God, your word you gave when you said to Adam, it's yours, you cannot intervene, it's not your planet. God knew it, so he tricked him. He came the legal way. Jesus was born of a woman, spent 9 months in the womb like every man there was born, spent 30 years growing up, learning things. But when he hit 33 and the Spirit of God came upon him and anointed him to do miracles, he began to intercede for people, get them healed, get them set free from demonic bondage, began to cast out devils, feed the hungry, preach the word that impacted the world in an incredible... Do you know why Jesus impacted the world so awesomely? Listen to me. You say, well, because he was a son of God. You bet. And what are you? Son of God. Do you want to know why Jesus absolutely walked through the planet like a hot knife through butter? He was the only one that was reborn. He's the only one that walked in totally purity. He was the only one that had no sin on his account, and he could walk right through the demonic attack. Ching, 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 ching. Breastplate on, helmet on. Just walk through anything, no problem. Boom, demons gone. Boom, healed. 5,000 people fed. Demons try to stop him. They can't until in John 10, he says, I give myself because you can't take me anyway. You have nothing in me. Satan can't mess with me. I give you myself so I can be crucified and die for you and I. Jesus walked the planet as a man, pure and sin-free. And when he died for you and I, he made a way for millions of people to walk the planet and go through Satan's strategy like a hot knife through butter. Easily. Why? Because you're not on your own power. You are sin-free. Say, I wish. No. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and God looks through Jesus' blood at you and sees the finished work of the cross when he looks at you. So we have got to understand today, under this new covenant, we've got incredible power. In Ezekiel 22, verses 29 to 31, again, it says, Ezekiel says there, God says, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. I looked for a man to make up the hole in the hedge that the enemy was coming through, but I found none. Good news, number two, we have such a man. Hello. We have such a man. Did you know that every time you mess up and you do wrong, your kids are going to grow up having somebody that can represent them before God? His name is Jesus. We have an intercessor. Isaiah 53:12, it says there that Jesus took the sins of many. 1 John 2:1-3 says that he is our advocate. He's always there. He's ever present when anything goes wrong to be there for you. 1 Timothy 2:5 says he's our mediator. There is a man to stand in the gap for us. Romans 8:34, at his right, he's at the right hand of the Father to make intercession. Hebrews 7:25 says he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. What are all these verses saying? They're saying that in the old covenant it was horrible to be alive when sin was moving because no one would know how to pray. There wouldn't be a man to stand in the gap. But today, now, let me say something to you right now. I'm going to show it to you in a little later in the scriptures today. You are sitting here, and if you're born again, you are born again because somebody interceded you through. The only reason. That's right. I'm going to show you. Somebody prayed you through, travailed you through somewhere, prayed, and that's why you're serving God today, because God needs permission from a human to get involved in a sinner's life. Unless the Holy Spirit draw them, they won't come to him. When we begin to see the power of this thing called prayer and how that if we'll learn to be sensitive to God, boy, God will do miracles in people's lives. Number three, the third point I want to make. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Listen to this. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the same ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? If you have a fight with your wife and then you reconcile, that means you get things right. All right? Things are made right. It says here that God has reconciled us to Jesus Christ. But now it's our job to go out there and help other people be reconciled to Jesus Christ. We've got to understand that you can't just live on this planet and not do anything about other people. God says that's your ministry. Now you can go, well, my ministry, pastor, is just to play the flute. That's all I'm going to know. I'm sorry. Everybody's got the ministry of reconciliation. You are on this planet to see somebody else get to know Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You know that verse in the Bible that says, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall who give into your bosom? Men. Men. There's a law that whatever you give, you get back in droves. When you begin to pray for others, all of a sudden your life takes on a turbocharged spiritual mentality. You want to know why? Because as I pray for your daughter, as I pray for your marriage, as I pray for your unsaved loved ones, God is bound by his promises because he's got to keep his word. So that when Leon gives, whatever Leon gives, he gets back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall everyone else give into his bosom. Works with money, works with prayer, works with love, works with anger, works with negative things, works with sin. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back a hundredfold. It's going to come back on you. But what's exciting is when you pray for others, you see, you'll be amazed if we really could put people's prayer lives up on here and have the Holy Spirit put them on the big screen. And put, Lord, take everybody's name, go boop across the big screen, and how much time they've prayed for somebody else's needs this week. It probably wouldn't be where we think we should be for God. Let's just be honest. Because all of us are pretty self-centered. What concerns us is what concerns us. And usually people really begin to notice sick people when they get sick. People are going to be noticed poor people when they get poor. Just like you begin to notice red vans when you bought a red van. We've got to stay away from the slothfulness of not caring about others and recognize that you can see miracles if you start to pray for people. Now, I'm going to get you to turn to a scripture with me here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 is a startling scripture. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 to 12. Go down to verse 13. Well, let's start at 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Verse 13, what's Jesus waiting for? And from that time, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What's Jesus waiting for? Verse 13, from that time on, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. If you are the body of Christ, then the devil's under your feet. Jesus is waiting for something. We all think we're waiting for Jesus. Well, I wish Jesus would have revival in Winnipeg. I wish Jesus would do something about my job. I wish Jesus would do something about my sick body. And it's saying here, Jesus is saying, I've given you authority, you power. I'm waiting for you. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting till you make my enemies my footstool. Why? Because you and I have got authority and power. You and I have an ability to get God involved in that person in the hospital. You and I have got an ability through prayer to get God involved in that accident. I'm going to show you in a moment how, as we intercede, how that literally angels can get involved and stop things that are going on. God needs you and I to make his enemies our footstool. Now let's talk about supernatural intercession. Romans 8:27. Let's get right down to how we do this thing and why we can intercede so much more powerfully. You can pray so much more powerfully than the Old Testament. Romans 8, verse 27. It says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, tonight I wanted to do a bunch of teaching, but we're not there. So I'm going to just kind of share some things with you so that we don't get all off. The reason that we can pray much more powerfully than anybody in the old covenant is because Jesus is on the inside of me and he's on the inside of you. Now, how many have read the verse that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession? That means he's always... Now, when Jesus walked the planet, if you wanted anybody to pray for you, who would it be? You would want Peter or John? No, I'd want Jesus too. I want the man. Forget the disciples and the 70. Where in the world is Jesus? Well, where is Jesus today bodily? Okay. Also, he's at the right hand of the Father, sitting down. So we are the body of Jesus. Did you know that if Jesus is in heaven praying, that any prayers made in heaven are illegal anyway? Because in order to have authority on this planet, you got to be on the planet. You got to be a body on this planet. So how is Jesus making intercession in heaven? Through us. Now look at this in verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know that in our Bible, they have added, the Bible translators, and it's okay, they've added three words. And if you've got a New King James or King James Bible, if it says the will of, it's in italics. That means that it's not in the original, but it was added to help make it understandable for English people. Let's take it out, okay, because it's accurate. Let's read it that way. It says, he makes intercession for the saints according to God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but Jesus is inside of your heart. And in order for Jesus to pull that miracle off and save that accident and stop this judgment and get this death out of this person's body, he needs someone to pray through. And so he is nudging you and I, would you allow me to pray through you? See, Jesus on the inside of me, his love, his compassion wants to flow out. He wants me to do something about others. And so Jesus can pray through me. Now look at this. It says in verse 27, now he, verse 28, and we know that all things work together. No, verse 26. I'm getting the preach on me. I got to slow down. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now you take that in the Amplified Bible and it says this, with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Now this has caused some problems, because in the intercessory move today, some people think that if you really want to move God, you got to groan when you pray. Okay? Now that's false. That's wrong. Actually here what it means is groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And so some people will put it on. They'll start groaning and crying. And they're almost like the Jewish mourners. When they had a funeral, you could buy people to mourn for you. If you didn't have lots of friends, you went down to the local mourners group and just, yeah, I'll pay you so much, come cry. So you got a big procession. I'm serious. And and if you had more money, you could have a whole bunch of mourners come. And they'd all mourn at your graveside to make you look really important, really popular. And that's almost like intercessory prayer for some people. They seem to think that if they can put on the dog, God's going to answer sooner. So let's groan. And let's do something. All right? That's not true. Now, at the same time, I will show you here that when the Spirit of God gives you something to pray for, there are many times your spirit begins to be moved like Jesus at the grave of Lazarus, and you'll begin to cry. You'll begin to, as you pray. There's a groaning that comes from inside. It comes from your spirit. It's not put on by your head. It's not to make you look spiritual during intercessory prayer time. There is something, the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus right now, the Spirit of, how many know the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are all the same? They're one, yet they're three. Now, the Holy Spirit's on the planet inside of you. Jesus is monitoring the planet through the Holy Spirit. And he sees, let's give you some examples. All of a sudden, there's an accident going to happen over there. We need someone to pray. I want to get my angels involved over there. But angels, according to Psalms 103, verse 19 and 20, they obey the voice of God's word. I need somebody praying God's word so I can get angels to stop that thing. And the Spirit of God begins to on the inside of you, pray. And you just feel this kind of feeling. And so you begin to pray. And you don't know what to pray for as you should. Well, what do you want me to pray for? And it's really hard for people to hear God. And God say, I want you to pray for a blue Datsun that's about to hit a 1976 Mack truck. No, it's hard sometimes. But you know what? The Bible says here the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. And your weakness is you don't know how to pray as you should. God knows how to pray. Would you believe me on that one? You can pray according to God. Jesus wants to pray through you for a situation so that he gets to move in that situation powerfully. Now that's where speaking in tongues is so wonderful. Now that's where speaking in tongues is so wonderful. I'm going to just leave my notes and talk to you for a while. That's why praying in the Holy Ghost is so powerful. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you speak mysteries to God in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. You speak mysteries to God. What are you praying? You are praying the answer to that situation. You don't know why God's got you praying. All you know is, and I have had circumstance after circumstance where God will show me something. Sometimes he shows me what I'm praying for. Sometimes he doesn't. Either way, if I know who I'm praying for, I'll pray in English for a while, and then I go to praying in tongues. For example, I can be walking during a day. I do this almost all the time. Anytime God puts somebody in my mind, and I'll go, I don't know why that person's there. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Carolyn right now. Wherever that woman is, in Jesus' name, I pray the protection of God upon her right now. I pray the Spirit of God protecting her, keeping her, guiding her. I release the angels of God to encamp around about her, bear her up in their hands, lest she dashes her foot against a stone in the name of Jesus Christ. And as all of a sudden, as God begins to put Carolyn upon my heart and I begin to pray, the Spirit of God begins to pray for this woman through me. All of a sudden, the angels of God, the power of God begin to be released on this situation. Why? Because I'm making intercession according to God for this. I don't know exactly what's going on. Sometimes God does reveal. One time I was in prayer, praying on my knees, and all of a sudden, it was like a vision. I found myself in a car. And I was in this old, it wasn't a 57 Chevy, it was something like that. It had one of these old cars, and it was all fixed up, and it had those big fins at the back. That's all I remember. And I found myself in my prayer time, I was in this car, and all of a sudden this car was going straight for a semi-truck. And in my heart, I knew that's what I was praying for. God was showing me what I was praying about. And I found myself binding the spirit of death, binding that tragedy, and saying, Father, in Jesus, and then just, Kondora Mabrakasiando. And all of a sudden, the peace of God came all over me. I don't know how long I prayed, and it just... That picture in my heart just kind of left, and I went on praying for other things. I've never found out since what happened. Doesn't matter. Somewhere God needed somebody. God needed permission to stop that thing, and he put it on my heart. Other time, remember one time, often I'll be praying and saying, Father, I just sense how I need to pray. And I'll sense the Holy Spirit nudging me inside. What do I mean by nudging you? I mean, all of a sudden I know he needs me to pray for something. I don't know who it is. I don't know what it's about, but I'm praying. Because anytime the Spirit of God nudges you to pray, you have an opportunity to thwart the enemy's plans, to see the demons pushed back, and to see God's will being done, mercy and peace. And I begin to pray. And as I begin to pray, I begin to sense incredible fear. And I knew I was praying for somebody that had an attack of incredible fear, and the enemy was trying to snuff out their life. I don't know what was going on. And I just knew that. And so I bound the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of fear. And Father, I don't know who you're praying for through me, but it doesn't matter, because 1 Corinthians 12:2 says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm speaking mysteries to God. So God knows that the language that I'm speaking in, that he's getting permission to get involved. Kondora mabra sikiando, otora mabra, and I begin to just pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying in another language is so wonderful, because when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God helps your weaknesses, for you don't know what to pray for as you ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Meaning, you don't know. It's not articulated in your normal speech. You're praying in tongues. There is times in my life I have known that I am praying for one of my daughters. There's times in my life I know I am praying for my wife. Just bang, I know in my spirit I must pray for Sally. I don't know, God doesn't speak to me. I just know I got to pray for my wife. I got to pray for my family. And I'll begin to pray. Sometimes it's just for a minute. Other times I'll go on and pray for an hour. Don't know if it's for next week. Don't know if it's for something happening right now. There are many situations where we have checked things out, where someone said, Pastor, I got to ask you, I was praying for you on such and such a day at this time. What was going on? And I say, you know what? That's the day a man attacked me with a knife. Thank you. I appreciate that. Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but I've been praying and praying and praying and praying for this person in our church. You know anything about that? I haven't seen him for weeks. I'll say, yes. Didn't you know? They didn't know, but they knew in their heart. You see, why is it when someone comes to your mind and you think about this person all the time, you go, what's going on? I believe as you begin to tune into the spirit realm, you begin to do supernatural intercession. In other words, God is looking for someone to pray through. And if he can find some human on this planet, the Bible says wherever two or three agree on what? Wherever two or three agree in heaven? Oh, but just a minute. Wouldn't that be awesome if Moses and Joshua could pray for me? Jesus, yeah, God, we're just coming to you. We want to pray for Pastor Leon today. Yeah, me and Moses, we're in agreement. We want this thing done for that church. We want that building built debt-free. Wherever two or three agree as touching anything on earth, All through the Word, you will find that He needs people in agreement. He needs people in prayer on this planet. He needs people speaking and praying on this planet. And so what's neat about this is as you grow in God, you might not know the Word good enough to pray the Word. But if you pray in another language, you can find that quiet time by yourself. Often I'll just say, God, I want to just pray for a while. Is there anything you want prayed through? I'm available right now. Other times I know. There's times I've prayed for one person for 3 days. But I didn't do it where it was like on my knees the whole time. I get up in the morning and all of a sudden this person came to my heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray the presence of Jesus upon them. And I go about my work and I talk and counsel and board meetings and business meetings and stuff. And I'll get back and I'll get a lunch break and I'm driving away. And all of a sudden that thing just comes back to me. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for this person. I thank you, your word works. And anytime I get a break during that day, I'd intercede and pray for them. And all of a sudden it'd be gone. And we just lift that. I don't know what happened. They don't come to my mind anymore. It's like this thing is, it's lifted off of me. Supernatural intercession is Jesus at the right hand of the Father in his human body, at the right hand of the Father. He's been given authority on the planet, but he left the planet. And he says, you go into the world and preach the gospel. In Mark 16, he says, you lay hands upon the sick. If you eat any deadly thing, you shall not hurt you. You're going to tread upon lions and serpents and scorpions. You've got protection. Why? Because you are walking as a born again son adopted into the family of God. And you've got authority because you've got a body and you're on this planet. And God needs you to pray. You might not say, well, I don't know how to confess verses like Pastor Leon. I wish I could pray like that. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It might just be, God, please intercede in Leon's behalf. He's on my heart. I don't know what to pray for, but Father, I give you permission for your angels. Whatever you want to do for Leon. What's God looking for? He's looking for a chance to pray through someone. Looking for a chance for someone that he can make intercession for. Verse 26, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to tell you something right now. We all think we've got heroes today because you see me on the pulpit, or you see Debbie at the piano, or you see somebody with a gifting in the church, and you go, oh, they're so awesome. But when you get to heaven, and God plays the rewind, pushes the rewind button, and shows you your life, and you realize you'd been minus one son if this woman, little lady, wouldn't have gone up and prayed one night, late at night, 2 a.m. You would have realized the tragedy would have hit if God wouldn't have put, why? Satan's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and the Holy Spirit's job is to monitor the planet and stop him and see the work of God being done. The Holy Spirit, that's why as you and I pray for others, Mama, do you want to know the best thing you can do for your kids? Pray for someone else's kids as well. When you pray for others, God is bound by his word to raise up people to pray for yours. So I can pray for my kids, or I can pray for my kids, and I always do, and I can pray for your kids and your marriage. If I start praying for your marriage like I do, you know what? I get people praying for my marriage. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God's bound by his word to have people praying for my marriage. If I start praying over your finances and speaking the word of God over you and making time out of my life to intercede for you, God's bound by his word to have people praying for me in that same area. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Which is why so many selfish people today end up praying for me. Oh, God, bless me, Lord. I have this need. I, me, we, mine, ours. Please help. Oh God, you're missing the boat. You're missing it. You can be the one person praying for yourself the rest of your life, or you can be the one person pray for yourself, get that thing out of the way, and begin to pray for others. As you pray for others, God's got to raise up an army praying for you. So what's better praying for you? Just you for the rest of your life, or hundreds and thousands of people praying for you because you're praying for others? You see, it doesn't make sense to pray for yourself all the time. Take God's word, confess it over your wife, your family, confess it over your business, and then begin to pray for others. The greatest thing you can do is intercede for somebody else. Help someone else succeed in business. Pray for someone else's marriage. Pray for someone else's kids. Because all of a sudden that powerful word begins to go to work on you. Supernaturally, when we begin to pray and the Spirit of God begins to get on us, we begin to intercede for others. Let me just close up with a couple points. Yeah. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Now, listen to this one, and I could teach you for about a month on this one verse, but I'm going to just talk about it for a few minutes and let you get into it on your own. How many know the greatest thing a pastor can do is not teach you everything, but make you so fascinated with the Bible you study it for yourself? That's important. Otherwise, you will never mature. It's like one guy said, you know, I don't mind feeding a baby a bottle, but I don't like parting the whiskers to get it in. One of the things we have to do when we grow up is, when you first get born again and don't know much about the Word, you'll come to church and you'll get fed. You're gonna go, wow, 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 man, wow, oh, this is incredible. But after a while, if you don't study for yourself, you'll lose that. A child begins to grab their own fork. Dad, I do that. And they start putting it themselves. I mean, they hit their nose, their eyes, their hair, hits everything, but they start. And pretty soon they're really good at feeding themselves. And so it's important that we mature past, so that really what you need to do is, anything I teach on, you go home, make it a Bible study of your own for an entire week, and let God show you other scriptures and other things, and let God raise up that spirit of wisdom on the inside of you. Galatians 4:19 is so amazing because it shows us something that we, as a church, we've got to do. Now, Paul is a good example of the Pauline epistles, and he says here this, my little children, for whom I labor in birth. Okay, Paul's having babies. Well, that's cool. There's a man having babies. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again. Okay, so he's labored in birth once for them. And now the second time he's laboring for them in birth, it's so that Christ is formed in you. The greatest miracle on this planet is for somebody to give their life to Jesus Christ. But if you look at verse 19, Paul is saying, the way we get births is by going through labor. Now, if you understand, if you've ever read the book we have by, is it Jackie Mize, Sally? On supernatural childbirth, you'll find that travail doesn't mean pain. It means hard work. So here what Paul is saying is that I have worked, labored at getting you born again. What was he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. When he could have been out eating hot dogs and driving around doing anything he wanted, he was on his knees praying, saying, Father, give me souls. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this person. They're lost without you. I ask right now for the blinds to come off their eyes. I pray right now that spirit, that season of pleasure that they enjoy, I put an end to it right now. I pray the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, the knowledge of Jesus Christ upon this person. I pray right now eyes to be open to what you want to do in their life. And I claim this soul for the kingdom of God. And every time he'd get home, he'd think about this one young man, he'd say, Father, I'm claiming that man for the kingdom. Right now, today, I pray the spirit of wisdom. And he'd take the verses and pray it in English, and then he'd pray in tongues. And as he prayed for that person, there's a laboring going on. There are times, see, I believe that real intercession that's really productive is when the Spirit of God grabs you at a kairos time, a strategic time. And all of a sudden, it's not just you praying dutifully for people. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God gets on you. And you just, oh, Father, in Jesus' name. You can just sense it on the inside of you. And when you first start, it'll be wild. You just, whoa. You know, I think this is what Pastor was talking about. I feel a little bit heavy in here, and I know it's not me. I don't have any reason to be heavy. What the Holy Spirit's doing is he's running to and fro. He's trying to find someone who'll let him pray through them. It's important, because if he doesn't, people aren't going to accept Jesus. Paul would pray till they got born again. Then he would pray again. And he's not talking about just pray. He's talking about a laboring. He's not talking about birthing it physically. Spiritually, the Holy Spirit would come upon Paul, and they would pray through this person through. And then when that person came to church and got born again, he wouldn't stop praying for them. Now he labors in prayer over them until Christ is formed in them. What does that mean? That he's not in their spirit? No, it means he's not in their mind enough. Romans 12:2. It says there, don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know that a church will become so strong when mature people begin to pray for the baby Christians in that church, and they refuse to back off? And they say, in Jesus' name, I pray for the babies in this church. Father, I'm thinking of Bob right now. I don't know why, but Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, his mind will be renewed with your word. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of wisdom will be upon him. Reveal to him your word. I'm claiming this man to go on. And you begin to pray every day for whatever person that God lays on your heart. And you know what happens? When Satan would snuff that person out and get them to backslide, all of a sudden, their mind begins to be renewed in the word. And when someone's mind begins to be renewed in the Word, guess what? Satan, it's like he's got his fingernails going down the chalkboard. He's losing control of this person. He's got them with misbeliefs. He's got them with fear. He's got them with condemnation. He's got them with sinful desires. He's got them with all this stuff, but they're coming to church and you're praying for them. And because you're praying the spirit of wisdom on them, they're sitting in churches going, taking the Word in. And it's renewing their mind and they're getting strong. You ought to meet some of the Christians in our church right now that have only been here for 3 months and see the incredible knowledge they have of God's Word. They're incredible. They are powerful. Why? It's God's of God's Word. It renews your mind. It makes you realize, Satan, you flea bag, I don't have to put up with this. You hit the road. So, you mean calling the devil names works? No, it doesn't. But knowing who you are does. And telling them where to go does. All of a sudden, Matthew 11:12 begins to rise up on the inside of you. From the days of John the Baptist until today, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent, take it. That's why I've often said, quit being led by open and shut doors. If God says, I've got something for you through that door, go get it, and the door is shut, you get violent. Now, I'm not talking about physically. All right, let's strike that one from the record. I'm talking about spiritually. There's a militancy. It's not a rabbit. It's not being weird. It's not acting stupid that I'm talking about. I've had enough of that in the church over the years. Churches. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about just over. In the Church of Jesus Christ, anytime a truth gets going, people go rabbit on it. For every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. But all of a sudden, we've got to begin to pray for baby Christians and pray for births until Christ is formed in them. If we as a church move on to the next level of prayer, we are going to see miracles like we never have believed. You want to know why? Because all of a sudden, as an entire body, we're praying over next Wednesday. What's next Wednesday? Next Wednesday is the Wednesday we come together and pray for the sick. And people come from the streets, other churches, they're dying. They've got cancers, diseases. There's messes going on. They get a chance to take communion with us here. And then as a body, we lay hands on them and we pray for them. And we believe God for miracles. What's going to increase that miracle? Well, when Pastor Leon gets better. Yeah, that's got a part to do with it. But it's going to be when a body of Christ rises up and says, we're praying for miracles in Jesus' name. And people during the nighttime, some of you wake up and pray right now. Pray in the Spirit. Don't stop. When you recognize that all God needs is permission, it removes the mystical, oh, I don't know how to pray. I'm going to give you a few examples in closing. There's times in my life, all of a sudden, there's times when I'm praying. I'll be praying, saying, Father, and I'll, on my knees praying, and I'll go through 50 people in 10 minutes. That's right. There's times I'm, Father, I thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for my leaders. And sometimes I'll pray for one all the time. Other times, as I'm closing my eyes praying, all of a sudden their faces will come through. Boom, boom. Boom. And I see the Spirit of God's bringing them. And I'll pray for 50 people in 10 minutes. Other times, one in for hours or for days. Just every time the Spirit of God brings them to me, I'll be praying for that person. They're on my mind. Now, I've been thinking about this person all the time, Sally. In Jesus' name. You can't decide what the Holy Spirit does. All I know is this. In the New Testament, we have an intercessor, and his name is Jesus. And he needs to pray through you. Get going. Just say, God, I'm ready to start. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. Say, well, yeah, well, you know, I don't know what to pray. Then pray in tongues, because that's the weakness many people have. All of us really have. We don't know what to pray for as we should. I just know I got a burden to pray. Let me say this. Some of you, as you grow for God, wonder sometimes why depression comes on you certain times. I actually believe that the Spirit of God is moving on you and nudging your heart to pray for somebody. And sometimes you feel like you're burdened down. You get up in the morning and it's a beautiful day, things to happen, it ought to be great, but you sense a heaviness on you. I don't know what. You know, I believe many times the Spirit of God is trying to show you what this person is feeling like. You're having compassion and he wants you to pray. Say, Father, you know, is there a need you need prayed for? It's almost like you can sense the heart of God being moved for a situation and trying to find someone to pray so we can get involved. Don't just go, oh, I feel yucky today. No, begin to pray. Father, I just thank you. Lord, if this is just the enemy trying to get me heavy, then I'm going to pray and blow it away. And if it's you asking me to pray for someone else right now, this time I'll be in my car just praying inside, my mouth closed. Other times just find a quiet time, go for a walk and pray in the Spirit. And while I'm praying, God is praying through me. Jesus is praying through me. I am praying according to the will of or according to God. Don't ever miss those times. Now, I disagree with people who walk around like this. What's the matter? Oh, I'm an intercessor. Well, what's wrong? Oh, God's just giving me a burden. I thought Jesus was the burden bearer. Yeah, but I got a burden for this. Listen, if you got a burden, pray it, get it done, and it should lift. If you've got a burden to pray, you pray. And all of a sudden, when you prayed this thing through, you keep praying until it's prayed through. All of a sudden, it's like you get this tickling on the inside. Just, and you know that God entrusted you with a situation to pray. And then in that 5 minutes or in that 1 hour or in those 3 days of just every time you get a chance praying for that one person, all of a sudden it just lifts like a sparrow just flighting. Just, gone. And you know you've got the victory. I believe every time the Spirit of God puts a desire to pray for something or someone in specific upon you and you pray it through, I believe the miracle is done and finished when you get this. I remember one time when I was preaching in a city in Saskatchewan, and as I was praying, before I was to preach, all of a sudden I found myself seeing like a dream, like a vision while I'm praying. I'm going, praying for the service, interceding for, as I preach, God, what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden, I saw the message that I preached word for word. And I remembered it point by point. I preached it that night. I watched the altar call that I made as I'm praying in the Spirit. I saw this altar call. And I'm supposed to make the altar call for this. And I saw a specific man get out of his seat and come down to the front. And then God told me, you do this. And he showed me the future. Showed me what I was going to preach that night. You know what I did? I went up this on the pulpit that night, and I began to just preach the exact message that I saw in this vision while I was praying. I made the exact altar call, and the man was sitting in the exact spot. He was in the third row back in the center on the right. And I looked, and there he was. When I got to that point to make an altar call, I made the altar call. That man didn't respond. I knew he would. God showed me. That's why I just said, you're here, and this is the way you are. I looked at him. He knew and I know. But you know what? I prayed. God showed me what he wanted done, and I prayed that thing through. And I got a sense of victory on the inside. And then God was seated and walked down, got that thing right. And then I made the altar call God showed me to make, and the altar packed out with people, and I ministered the way he wanted me to. Many times I would go to places to preach. I used to travel for a number of years from church to church around Canada a little bit and minister. I'd go to one church, I'd preach a message that I'd prepared, and all heaven would break loose. Miracles, signs, wonders. Wow. I'd go to another church, I'd pray more before preaching at this church, and nothing would happen. I go back to my hotel, go, oh God, man, I fasted and prayed longer for this service than I did the last one. What's going on here? And I knew it was the prayer cover of that church. God needed permission to get involved in their lives, and this church wasn't praying for the move of God, wasn't praying for their baby Christians, wasn't praying for their sick people. When someone comes down to the front and gets a miracle, and I touch them, and I go, what do you need? And all of a sudden, boom, totally healed. That might have been a miracle that took place right now, or that could have been you praying for that person. They've been on your heart for the last week, and you've been praying. Father, I bind the spirit of the enemy upon them. I pray the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the eyes of their understanding being open to healing. I pray for them like Jesus prayed for Peter, that their faith fail not. Father, I pray strength into that spirit in the name of Jesus, and I bind the power of the enemy. And all of a sudden on Wednesday, they walk down to the front. I touch them, and they go, boom, totally healed. That healing took place because that praying took place. It just happened to be one plants, another harvest. But God knows what's going down, and he's keeping records. Start praying. Just start with what you know. Satan, I believe, gets many of you to not pray because you feel inadequate. You don't know how to pray. You know what? Get up in the morning and say, God, In Jesus' name, be with my husband today. Amen. Now, did you give God permission or not? You bet you did. Can God get involved with that man? You bet he can. You have not because you ask not. He didn't say you had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray for 7 hours just to have a good day. What are you praying for? Well, I'm interceding to have a good day. Well, we've been praying for 5 hours. There are other times God does call you to pray for a long length of time. But man, can we get miracles done. Let's stand together. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I just shared a little bit about what your word says about intercessory prayer. Father, the most exciting times of our lives is when we lay down our lives for the others. Father, I'm praying right now for this entire congregation. I'm asking you right now to begin to move on them to pray. Let them, while they drive their car, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let them, when they go to bed at night, Father, wake some of them up in the middle of the night to pray for things that are going to go bad if somebody doesn't pray. And when they wake up and wonder why they're waking up, let them slip onto their knees and just pray until that thing lifts and they know there's an answer. Father, I pray in your name right now that, Father, you would help us as a church to rise up and pray. That's where we're going to see miracles like we've never seen. That's when we're going to see salvations like we've never seen. That's when the power of God is going to be unprecedented in our midst as we begin to speak your word and pray over situations. Father, for those that are here right now that look, things look hopeless, help them to know that as they pray in faith, God gets to get involved. He begins to move mightily on their behalf. Your name. Praise you, Jesus. I just feel impressed in my spirit for the next few minutes before we close that just lift your hands all over the congregation and just begin to pray. Begin to worship Jesus. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in another tongue. If you're here and you don't, then just pray in English. Just say, Father, I thank you for your church and your baby Christians. Pray for things that are on your heart. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Learn to start those engines up. Let the Spirit of God begin to pray through you. Learn to get up in the morning praying in the Holy Ghost. Learn to go to bed at night praying in the Holy Ghost. Learn to do your housework. Learn to drive that truck, that car, praying and worshiping God, making yourself ready as a warrior in the spirit realm to get things done. To mess with the enemy and set brothers free. To mess with the enemy and set tragedies back and stop them. Prayer that avails much. Prayer that is incredibly powerful. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Lord, we learn to flow with your spirit. We learn to move into the things of God. Yeah. I want to just say something right now. I find that I hear God amazingly clear when I pray in tongues a lot. When I don't pray in tongues a lot, I have to get on my knees somewhere to get an answer. But if all during the day I'm just, it's like I know what to do in every situation. Bang, I'm going to do this. It's like I know. Often when I'm preparing to minister, if I know God wants me to operate in the gifts that night and tell people what's wrong with them and he'll show me diseases and sicknesses and things, I know I've got to prepare by praying in the Spirit because I got to learn to get into that flow. And when I get into the flow of praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, moving in the realm of the Spirit, that's when the realm of the Spirit begins to show me things and do things through me and incredible things take place. So the more you pray in tongues, you're going to find the easier it is for the Spirit of God to show you things, to help you out, to give you ideas, to give you witty ideas and inventions, to show you things to avoid in your own business. It's when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, he'll show you things you could never know on your own. It's when you're praying in the Spirit of God for your family that all of a sudden he'll show you things in your kids, in your marriage that need to be dealt with. Why? The Spirit of God wants to lead you into all truth. I think if there's one thing that we have missed God on, it would be not praying in the Holy Ghost enough in your personal life. Tonight, I challenge you, every chance you get, let your kids see you quietly worshiping in tongues. Let your mates see you doing the dishes or mowing that lawn. What are you doing? You're allowing the Spirit of God to pray through you and worship through you. It's powerful. It'll change your whole life. I believe our church is right at the brink of something incredible, and it's going to start when we step over the line. There's a line you got to just cross. I'm going to pray in tongues every day, lots. I'm going to just say, God, here I am. I'll be a stormtrooper for you. I'm going to be a Marine. I'm moving. I'm stepping out of my armchair. Lord, you let me know. And you know what? When you begin to pray for others, you will.